This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being. He created him alayhi salam in the paradise. Adam alayhi salam, when Allah Azza wa Jal there in the paradise at that time, and he was going around and looking at Adam alayhi salam's lifeless body. And at this moment, Allah Azza wa Jal had not yet commanded the angels to make a sajda to Adam alayhi salam yet. Until a while later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he will bring life to the body of Adam alayhi salam. And that is when he said, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he commands the angels and he said to them, the very moment I blow into Adam, angels, the very moment, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, quickly, immediately, right then and there, fall into sajda. Make a sajda of honor and respect for Adam alayhi salam. And so the moment the soul met the body, this is when all the angels performed the sajda. We're speaking, yani Jibreel alayhi salam, the chief of all angels. One wing of his 8 angels, one of them between his earlobe and the shoulder is a distance of 3 days. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he informed us something about those who carry the throne. So you can imagine, this must have been an amazing sight in the paradise. All these angels making sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And this brings me to the question, my brothers in Islam, what honored the human being? What honored him? What gave him his worth and his value to the point that Allah Azza wa Jal will make angels make a sajda of respect and honor? What honor do we have? What honor and what value do we have? Is it the body that gave us our honor? Or is it the ruh that gave us our honor and our worth and our value in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal? No doubt, it is a ruh that gives you and I our honor. It's a ruh. And the proof is that when you are there as a body, no one was commanded to make a sajda. But the moment the ruh entered the body, the angels were commanded to make a sajda. And the ruh is what gives mankind their value and their honor. A ruh. So now how sad is it to know that many, many are oblivious to this fact, meaning they are unaware of this fact. And as a result, they invest lots of time and effort and money into looking after their body, and they neglect a ruh, not understanding and realizing that it is the ruh that gave you honor, not the body itself. This is why when the human being dies, his body is disposed of. That's the words used, disposed of. It's put in the earth. Worms would end up eating it, and the earth would end up eating it, and it would rot and it would wither away. That's what happens to the body. There's no honor in the body. As for the ruh, it comes out of the body and it goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what's honored and this is what has value. And the ruh never dies. The ruh itself does not die at all. The only thing that the ruh experiences is that it tastes death. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. You know this word. You've read this ayah many times and you've heard it. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, the soul shall taste death. He did not say the soul will die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ سَتَمُوتِ. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he makes commentary here. And he says the soul only tastes death as it comes out of the body and transitions to the next life, which is Hayatul Barzakh. Because the soul's honored, it has worth and value. Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed that it'll never die, it'll never be destroyed. And this is why everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla created, and it has a number of days in how many days Allah Azza wa Jalla created it, will end up being perished and destroyed and ruined. And everything that Allah created, and it has no number of days in how
Yani there's no mention of days and how many days Allah created it. These are matters that will last forever, and Allah Azza wa Jal never decreed upon them destruction and the fact that they will be perished and ruined. And for example, the heavens and the earth were created in how many days? Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, fi sittati ayyam, 6 days. The human body, Adam alayhi salam, was created in 40 days. Some narrations mention 40 years. Everything that has a count will come to an end. So the heavens and the entire universe, we're speaking 6 days. What's the point? What's the point of counting something? You count something because you're going to come to the end of it. So that in itself is an implication that the world will end. And the human body, there were certain days in which he was created. And that is an implication that his body would come to an end. But you come to the Al-Arsh. In how many days did Allah Azza wa Jal create the Arsh? We don't know. How many days did Allah Azza wa Jal create the paradise and the hellfire? We don't know. How many days for Allah Azza wa Jal to create the pen? We don't know. How many days for Allah Azza wa Jal to create Ar-Ruh? We don't know. Why? There's no point to count the days on these matters, because these matters would last forever. Khalas, Allah Azza wa Jal created them and he decreed that they will last forever and they will never ever perish and be destroyed. So there's no point to count. The counting is only done for things that are going to end. Like when you get wealth, money, and you count. Why do you count? You only count so that you can reach an end. And when you count certain things, you only count so you can reach an end. No one counts like this and just assumes that he'll be counting forever. So that's the idea. And so the idea is that the body itself will die. It'll rot. It'll perish. But the ruh, we weren't even mentioned of how many days it was created. And that implies that it'll never be destroyed and it'll never be ruined. The believing soul would rise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's unfortunate now that, as I said too, people invest in their bodies. And this is the questions that we almost every day you receive. Is hair transplant permissible? Are veneers permissible? Botox permissible? Is fillers, of course, there is fiqh concerning these matters between what's halal and what's haram. But where are the questions such as, give me a hadith in which I can upgrade my ruh. Give me an ayah that upgrades my akhlaq and that prepares my soul for the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. Where's the question? This is the believer's state. Alhamdulillah, and to my brothers in Islam, yani Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's the matter that you should never ever be skipping and missing. And there are others with a mindset in where the gym is something that is not supposed to be missed and forgotten. No problems. There's no issue. But have the same attitude when looking after your ruh, because this is what gave you honor and value. Not the body. The body end of the day will be destroyed and ruined. Even on the day of judgment, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say that yu'ta bi'an will be presented before Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. He will not weigh the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَجْسَامِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal look at your figures and your body and your shape. Rather, what is weighed on the day of judgment? The heart is weighed. Al-Iman is weighed. A person's ruh and his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why in the continuation of that hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal observes the heart and your actions and your deeds. This is what you should be concerned for. And you only have your time in this worldly life to look after this ruh. For this is what gave mankind his value and his worth and his honor. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam down to the paradise, down to the earth, and this was a calamity. And it happened after a sin had been committed in the paradise. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed, that this calamity would happen. The calamity of being removed from the paradise and ending up on earth. And this is exactly what happened. So we ended up on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send Adam alayhi salam on earth with no purpose. He sent him with a huge purpose and a grand purpose. and the purpose of Bani Adam are two things. When Allah Azza wa Jal sent Adam alayhi salam to the earth, and of course everything around him was created of trees and oceans and sand and grass, the heavens were there, the earth is there, the mountains are there, everything was created. The first purpose for why Allah Azza wa Jal created what He created around us, the matters that we see every single day, the purpose of that, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, it is He who created seven heavens, and similar to them, earths, seven earths. And the matter that Allah Azza wa Jal decrees, it rises and it descends between the heavens and the earth. Meaning, Allah created the heavens and the earth and everything in between them. Why? لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that you may be aware and recognize and acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal is capable over all things, and that Allah Azza wa Jal has encompassed all things with His knowledge. That's the first purpose in life, to recognize Allah Azza wa Jal, to recognize your Creator, your Lord. How? Through that which He created. Look at the heavens and say, Subhanallah. Who carries that? And it has no pillars that hold it. مِنْ غَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, look at this huge, vast ocean that occupies the majority of the earth, 71%. And you say, Subhanallah, who's the one who created all of this? And who holds it back from unleashing on this earth and destroying mankind? And every single day you look at something, it teaches you Allah Azza wa Jal. It teaches you Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal said. And it teaches you that Allah Azza wa Jal's knowledge has encompassed all things. A leaf falls from the tree, and by Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal has already informed us that He knows everything about that leaf that fell from a tree. One leaf falls, He knows why it fell, how it fell, when it will fall, how it will move as it falls, where it will land, where its ending will be. All of this is with Allah Azza wa Jal's knowledge. And that's one leaf. And then imagine every other leaf. And then imagine everything else that we cannot see that exists in the heavens and in the earth. Allahu Akbar. The purpose of life is to know Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost. Your first purpose of life is to know who Allah Azza wa Jal is. And you're going to know Allah and recognize Allah through His creation. In everything Allah created, there is a sign that refers to His oneness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create mankind and jinnkind except that they worship me. Now comes the purpose of worship. Now you worship Him. And your worship for Allah Azza wa Jal is your gratitude to Him. This is what worship is. What is worship other than being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I give you a logic. You know, you all have parents. And for those parents that have had parents, you don't want them to see that you have been burdened and you've been put in difficulty to serve them. You love to serve your parents, be kind to your parents, pay their bills, whatever it is. And you don't complain, because this is what Islam teaches. I tell you something. The question is, why are you good to your parents? And I ask you the question. These two human beings, this mother and this father that you call mother and father, why are you good to them? Why do you feel the need to serve them and to be grateful to them? And you believe from deep inside your heart that if you serve them a lifetime, you would not have done justice to them. You serve them because you recognize they are your parents. You recognize. You look at their face every morning and you say, Wallah, this is my father and this is my mother. I recognize them. And I know what they've gone through for me. So I feel like I owe them my entire life. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. To Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of examples. But the moment you realize that Allah is your Lord, He's your Rabb, He's the one who created you, He's the one who provides for you and sustains you, He's the one who caused your life, and he's the one who will cause your death, and he's the one who decrees all your affairs and your matters. When you recognize and you realize this, and you realize that Allah's involvement in your life is much more than your parents, now the automatic response is what? That you should remain grateful to him for the rest of your life with the attitude that no matter how much I worship him, I will never be able to fulfill his rights, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the logic. So now you first recognize who Allah is through his names and attributes and his creation. And that'll lead you to the fact that now you will understand and realize that I need to remain grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rest of my life. And so you acknowledge these matters in your heart. And this is what La ilaha illallah is. Well, this is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to us in the hadith, Man radiya billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya wajabat lahu al jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, anyone who is pleased with Allah as his Lord, with Islam as his way of life and religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet. Why? Then you recognize the purpose of life. And you are pleased with this fact and this matter. Shuf, this dhikr is teaching you. It's teaching you your identity. What is your identity as a Muslim? What are you supposed to be living for? What is your purpose on earth? Your purpose is that you are being pleased, to be pleased with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Look at the word that's used. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. What does it mean to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean? Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, when you're pleased with something, meaning you're satisfied by this matter, and you are absolutely convinced and you're certain by it, and you do not look for anything besides it, this is what it means to be pleased with Allah as your Lord. You're absolutely satisfied with the fact that he is your Lord, and you do not look for anything other than him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-rida is the highest form of love. You know, when you love someone, you say to them, Uhibbuka fillah, I love you for the sake of Allah. You say, I love you. But when you want to express your love for Allah Azza wa Jalla, how do you do so? There's no... This now means that you have uttered the highest form of expressing love to someone. Raditu billahi rabba. And when you say this, you are living your purpose. You're living your purpose. And it entails a few things that you need to be aware of. When you say you're pleased with Allah as your Lord, meaning you are pleased with the way he created you. So do not complain about the way in how he created you. Do not. Whoever complains about how he's created and he's not happy, and then he goes and does procedures and operations and surgical matters to change his creation to that which he thinks looks good, according to what society has made of a standard, such a person has deficiency in being pleased with Allah as his Lord. If you're pleased with Allah as your Lord, then you are pleased with the fact that he has given you what he has given you of provisions and sustenance. Because this is also what Rabban means. Rabb is the one who provides for you. So whoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord and does not complain about his rizq, and he is happy and he's satisfied and content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal gave him of food, drink and clothing and shelter. If he doesn't complain, this person is living raditu billahi rabba. But if a person complains about his rizq and he's not happy and he transgresses and rebels and he goes and collects his rizq through haram means, then if he said 100 times raditu billahi rabba, he is lying to himself. And there is deficiency in the fact that he is pleased with Allah as his Lord. Raditu billahi rabban also entails that you are happy and satisfied with whatever life Allah Azza wa Jal gives you, and the way he causes your death and how he takes your life. And you would also be pleased and content with whatever decree he decrees for you. If you are happy and content and you're pleased with all matters that Allah have decreed for you, that Allah has decreed for you, now you have achieved 100% raditu billahi rabba. Now you're fulfilling your purpose of life. Your ruh is being nurtured and nourished. Your ruh is prepared to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, having achieved raditu billahi rabba. The second matter was wabil islami deena, to be pleased with Islam as your way of life and your religion. Why? Why are you pleased with Islam as your deen? Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal was pleased with Islam as a religion for mankind. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Why would someone turn away from Islam and this way of life when it is the only way of life and the only religion that Allah was pleased for mankind to follow? Everything else has been distorted. Everything else has been changed. Everything else has been corrupted and ruined. Whether it's past religions of prophets, their sharia yani, and whether it's modern day beliefs, it's all corrupt, it's all ruined, it's all destroyed, it's all damaged, it's all blasphemy. It's a man or a woman that woke up one night and decided to create a set of beliefs for mankind. Here, follow him. This is something called atheism, and this is something called feminism, and this is something called liberalism, and we'll bring you another system, it's called democracy. Follow it. No worries, this is what we make up for mankind, and I think it suits people. Follow it. And people are pleased with that as a way of life. How can a person say raditu bil islami deena and enjoy and be pleased with other than the Islamic system? How? Such a person has deficiency in the fact that is put by these Westerners. How? Doesn't make sense. If they feel pleased with Islam as your religion, then you embrace it as a whole. All of it. Remember, I said to you, radit means you're absolutely convinced and you're certain by this deen. And you do not look for migration. And of course, you know our lands. In terms of how the worldly affairs are managed, are not the very best. Our lands, they're not the very best in that. And as a result, it compels the people and forces them to no choice but to leave and to migrate and to take up residence and citizenship in Western lands and Western countries, seeking a better life for themselves, for their children, and an education for their families and for their children. And of course, the Islamic standpoint is that if a person becomes he becomes in such a situation and a position where he's not able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in the manner that he should be worshipping Allah. But the idea is, this is what we see, and this is a fact, and this is what happens. Muslims leave their towns, their countries, wherever they are, and they head towards Western lands. They take up residence and they live there. Tayyib. Then the thing is, if a Muslim is not on top of his affairs and he's on top of his religious activities and duties and he doesn't learn his deen and he doesn't grasp his religion properly, then a huge fitna awaits him on the way. And that is that from those that come to the West, and we've seen many examples, they begin to lose their deen slowly. Don't get me wrong, the Western lifestyle does accommodate for a better life and an easier life and a more comfortable life, right? You have infrastructure that is advanced, medicine that is advanced, research, science, technologies, cars. The technology, the infrastructure, that advancement is there. It's much, much more than our lands. And there's no problem for the Muslim to take advantage of this, to use it in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to understand that the Western mindset is that all of these matters that they're bringing before Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't have this. So everything they invent and every advancement they have is for the sole sake of enjoying life. Nothing else. And the believer should not be caught up in this mentality. And the believer knows that this worldly life, the primary purpose is not to enjoy it. The proper enjoyment and the 100% enjoyment that Allah Azza wa Jal created for us is in the paradise. That's there. And he speaks about us enjoying it. He says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Look at the way it was told to us. Allah, and you're out. This is the attitude. This is how Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke to us in this ayah. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Even the believer should be invested and invest his time and money and soul and everything into his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla بِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. So what happens is, if you're not aware and careful, you may be lost in this Western lifestyle and continue to go down and drown until you sink all the way, believing that this is it, forgetting your Islam, forgetting your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. This shouldn't be the case of a believer. He should not be impressed. And there's one matter that will always keep you on your feet so that you're never impressed by that which they bring up of advancements or whatever it is. And that is the fact that no matter how many advancements they get to, so long as they have shirk within them and belief of other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is enough to tell you the backwardness of people and the destroyed nations and the destroyed nature of people. You know, there was a bird in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam had a massive army, and his army was of many matters, and from that are birds. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah gifted him عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. They were able to speak the language of the bird, and he understood the language of the bird. One day, as they were going out to engage in jihad and spread a deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, one bird left. This is the hudhud. They call it the hoopoo bird. It left the army, hack, or by itself, made a decision and it left. It took off. Sulaiman alayhi salam that day came to check up on his army, checked up on the birds, did not find the hudhud among them. وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرِ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدُودِ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. Where's the hudud? Then he threatened him, لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَأَتِينِي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. If I see this hudud, I will kill him, I will destroy him, I will punish him a punishment that is so severe. Otherwise, he better come with some certain solid news. So not a long time goes by, and the hudhud flies back, and he approaches Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he says to him, جِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَئٍ بِنَبَئٍ يَقِينَ. I flew off to Sabah. Sabah is modern day Yemen. And I've got to you some great news for you. What do you have? He says to him, listen to what the bird says. Maybe we can learn something from the bird. He says to him, إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ مْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ. When I went there, to Yemen, to Sabah, I found a woman and she was in control of her people. She was the leader. She was like the prime minister of the people, the governor of the people. وَأُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And she was given from all kinds of things. Yani he saw advancement. He saw technology. He saw what we see today in a Western land. This is what he saw. The bird went from where Sulaiman was to what we call today a Western land. أُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. There was medicine, there was agriculture, there was technology, there were things that weren't with Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. And in addition to all this, she had a mighty throne, a huge throne. This lady and her people and her town was all hooked up and set up. But the bird wasn't deceived by that. He wasn't fooled by that. Listen to what he said. And this is what you and I should also observe and see when we come to our Western land. He said, وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. I found her and her people prostrating to the sun instead of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Indeed, the shaitan had fooled them and he decorated their deeds. فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. As a result, he misguided them from the straight path. فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. They're not guided. أَلَّا يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ. Why don't they prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal? الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبَأَ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The one who brings out what's hidden in the heavens and the earth. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفُونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. And he knows what you conceal and what you make apparent. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. It is Allah, none worthy of worship except Him. He is the Lord of the mighty throne. He is رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. See the bird? See the bird? It wasn't caught up. in the advancement and the technology and the medicine and the science and whatever it is of the worldly life. The bird was quick to recognize, if these people don't have tawheed, there's no good in them. And he came back disgusted by what he saw. There's no tawheed there. People are worshipping a sun. What kind of mind, or what kind of, what do they call it? What kind of intelligence is this? He wasn't impressed by them at all. He recognized, alhamdulillah, Sulaiman alayhi salam worships Allah, and I belong to that army. And yes, maybe life is not as comfortable as the others, but we have la ilaha illallah, and that's what matters. That's what matters. And children and whatever it is will not be of benefit to anyone. Nothing, not even your children, not even your brothers and your sisters and your parents. None of them. Everyone's there standing for himself. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for a person who came with a pure heart. A heart that was pure. What's a pure heart? A pure heart is the heart that embraced Allah as its Lord and accepted Islam as its religion and accepted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the prophet and messenger. And it was clean from shirk and disbelief and kufr and from innovations and from sins, major and minor. This is why it's always important to refresh your tawbah and your istighfar to Allah azza wa jal. This is what will benefit mankind. This is it, my brothers in Islam. We wanted to share this message to tell you that your soul is what carries your value and your worth and your honor. Don't get caught up in worldly matters and worldly affairs. Don't get caught up in matters that will damage your soul and your relationship with Allah azza wa jal. And that's how the worldly life was designed. This is how it was designed. This is how Allah azza wa jal created it. Fitan within it. Matters that will deceive you. Matters that are able to penetrate in the heart and settle in it. But you need to resist. You need to fight. You need to keep away from these matters. You need to remain connected and attached to Allah azza wa jal alone and nothing else. This is why the adhkar come every morning and every evening to remind you of this reality. And then we have 5 prayers a day. And alhamdulillah, we have Ramadan coming soon. Ramadan is going to knock some life into the heart. Knock some sense and purpose into the heart. Ramadan will detach you from this worldly life. I make one final note here. And that is, do you notice something in how Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated worships upon us? One of the main reasons and the main matters that worship teaches us is to detach from this worldly life. Literally. Look at your salat. When you pray, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to drink. You're being detached from the pleasures of this worldly life. When you fast, you're being detached from the pleasures of this worldly life. No food, no drink, no sexual relations. These are the greatest desires of this worldly life. When you give zakat, which is a worship, you're being detached from the world. Ripping off your clothes, detaching from clothes of this worldly life. Every single worship detaches you from this worldly life and brings you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. If you're able to see that in your worship, you will realize that life is about connecting to Allah Azza wa Jal and disconnecting from this worldly life altogether. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us goodness and success. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill His love in our heart. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allow us to be pleased with Him as our Lord and Islam as our religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our Prophet and our Messenger. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us all. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.